Today, we continue with lesson number 2 of our study of Mishnayos Challah. And we will be learning together Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, and Mishnah Gimel. The first Perek, the second and third Mishnayos. We learned yesterday in lesson number 1, in Mishnah number 1, of the 5 species of grain which are obligated in the mitzvah of challah. Chita, Saora, Kusmin, Shiboleth Shu'ol, and Shifal. And we learned too that these are the 5 species which are Bo'im Lidei Chimutz, which under certain conditions become chometz and are not allowed to be eaten or even possessed on Pesach. Under other conditions, they are matzah, and they constitute the matzah which we eat as a mitzvah on the first night of Pesach. So this Mishnah continues and says, of these 5 grains, ha'ochel mehem kezayis matzah ba'pesach yotzo yedei chovoso. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, in Parshas Bo, bo'erev tochlu matzah, that in the first night of Pesach you should eat matzah. Matzah, by definition, is a product of one of these 5 grains and cannot be made of any other grain. Similarly, if one eats chometz, dough which has been permitted to rise, and the dough was prepared of one of these 5 species, kezayis chometz, chayav behikoretz, the punishment is the very strict punishment of Kores. As the Pasuk says, also in Parshas Bo, kol ochel chometz v'nichriso ha-nefesh ha-hi mi-Yisroel. Nisorev, or nisorav, echod mehem b'chol ha-minim. Suppose some wheat or some barley or some spelt or some oats or some shifon becomes mixed with some other species, with potatoes, potato powder, cornstarch made of what we in America call corn, or whatever. Nisarev echod mehem b'chol haminim, harei ze over ba'pesach. So this mixture, which contains an ingredient of one of these 5 species, is, again, under certain conditions, which we will not study here, you're violated the mitzvah of lo yeroy lecho, lo yimotze lecho, of not possessing, not having any chametz in your possession. So some say that harei ze over ba'pesach means you are over, you have violated the mitzvah of bal yeroy, bal yimotze, of not having chametz in your possession. Others say harei ze over ba'pesach means not you have violated the law of lo yimotze liroya, but rather hareze over by Pesach, you must eliminate it on Pesach. That it has to be destroyed because of the mitzvah of biur chametz, of destroying chametz that one has. We move quickly from the din of matzah and of chametz, which applies to these 5 species, to another category of halacha entirely. When one makes a vow, hanoder min hapas umin hatfuo, the person says, I'm not going to eat pas, which is the Hebrew word for bread. But, as we will see, according to Rab Meir, the word pas refers only to bread made from these 5 species. Umin hatfuo. If a person uses the word tavua, the Hebrew word tavua, to mean grain, asur behem, he is only asur in those 5 species of grain, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that the word pas, or the word tavua, only refer to these 5 species. There's another word in Hebrew which means grain, and that is dogon. According to Rabbi Meir, dogon is a much more general term and applies to any kind of grain, even grains of kidneys, beans, peas, whatever, would also be considered dogon. So holds Rabbi Meir. However, v'chachomim, Omrim, the Chachamim disagree, and they say, Hanoder min hadogon eino osur elo mehen. That if a person vows not to eat dogon, dogon also is not a general term to include all kinds of grain, but only refers to these five species of grain, no different from the word tevua. The Mishnah concludes with something which is really an intro to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah concludes with these words, V'chayovin, these five species are obligated in bachala uva ma'asros. If you have a farm with wheat, with barley, with shifon, with kusmin, with shpola shul, you have to give ma'aseh, you have to give the tithes. And if you make a dough out of it, you have to give challah. The next Mishnah, Mishnah Gimel, continues by saying, Elu chayovin bachalo ufeturin min hama'asros. We have a list of items which are obligated in the challah but exempt from ma'asros. Now remember, just visualize. Ma'asros means you give a tithe from grains which grow on the ground in the farm. You harvest them. You put them into bushels. You bring them to the goren, to the silo. You do the process known as miruach, which means you smooth off the top of the bushels. At that point, you're obligated to give the tithes, ma'asros. Challah comes much later. After you take the grain, in normal process, after you've given the tithes and all the tithes that have to be done from the raw produce, you then grind them in a mill into flour, and the flour, you add water to the flour and make dough. As you're rolling the dough, gilgul ho'iso, rolling the dough, at that point, you're obligated to give challah. So, the following items, you're obligated to give challah from the dough, but you're exempt from giving ma'asros from the produce, the unprocessed produce on the ground. And they are ha-leket v'ha-shichecho v'ha-peyo. Leket, as we know, if a person is harvesting and some of the harvest falls to the ground, then he has to leave it on the ground or they can be gleaned by the poor. The leket which falls to the ground, which the poor keep for themselves, is exempt from ma'asros, from the tithes. Shichecho, similarly, if a farmer forgets a bundle of grain and he leaves his field forgetting behind a bundle, that bundle belongs to the poor and is exempt from ma'asros, from the tithes. Similarly, peya, farmer must leave a small corner of his field for the poor. That belongs to the poor and is exempt from ma'asros. But when the poor person takes this grain and makes it into dough, he is obligated to give challah to the kohen. V'ha hefker. Hefker means a produce which is forfeited, is exempt from ma'asros. But if you pick up something which is forfeited and make it into dough, you have to give from that dough to the kohen. Hefker is obligated in challah. U'ma'aserishon shenitla trumoso. The first tithe, as we know, is given to the Levi. And the Levi must take 1/10 of that tenth and give it to the Kohen. Ma'aserishon shenitla trumoso is exempt from ma'asros. However, it's obligated. The Levi has to give challah to the Kohen. Uma'asesheni vehegdesh sheniftu, the second tithe, or hegdesh, which can be redeemed for money. And with the money, other things can be purchased under certain rules and used in certain ways. So that is no longer obligated in ma'asros, either because it's ma'aseh sheni or because it was hektish. It was hektish at the time of miruach. So therefore, it's exempt from ma'aser, but it is obligated in challah. U'mosar ha'omer, interesting halacha. We learned in yesterday's Mishnah about the procedure of the omer. On the Motsoi Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, which in Eretz Yisrael, of course, is the second night of Pesach, they would harvest barley, a large quantity of barley, shalosh so'im of barley enough to give you 3 bushels of wheat. But then they would sift, and that was Hekdesh. It was purchased with the money of Hekdesh, and it had the halacha of Hekdesh. It was sacred money, sacred barley, so to speak, sacred flour. After they would grind that barley into flour, they would then sift the flour through 13 sifters, 13 sieves, and until they extracted one isaron, one small amount of absolutely fine flour, and of that, on the 16th day of Nisan, the first day of second day of Pesach, the first day of Chol HaMoed, they would bring that as a korban mincha. But that would leave over behind quite a bit of flour. What can be done with that? So we follow the rule of this Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah Meseches Chalo. There's a Mishnah in Menochos, Perek Yud Mishnah Dalet, in which we have a different opinion about this, namely Rabbi Akiva's opinion, which does not appear at all in this Mishnah. And that's why the Halacha is like our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah. There's no Machlokas here. So the Mosar HaOmer, the extra flour, which is not being used for the actual Minchas HaOmer, that is redeemed for money. The money then goes to purchase other things for Hekdesh, but the flour is exempt from Maaseh because the Miruach took place when it was Hekdesh. The Miruach was done when it was still in the form of barley, before it became flour. However, the Gilgal, the rolling of the dough of this Mosar HaOmer, requires the giving of challah. Utavua shelo hevi yoshlish. Similarly, grain which has not grown even 1/3 of its natural growth is exempt from maaser, because such grain, immature grain, will not reproduce. If you plant it, it will not grow. It's too green, too new. However, if you harvest grain, even though it hasn't reached 1/3 of its growth, you can make it into flour, and that flour will be boli de chimutz, will ferment under certain conditions. So therefore, it is obligated mechala. So tzfuah shelo hevi or shlish is exempt from ma'asros, but mechuyav in chala. So holds the Tanakama. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no, Tfuah Shalohi Vyoshlish is not only exempt from Masros, it is also Pitura min HaChala. It is exempt too from Chala. Why should that be? So the Yerushalmi explains Rabbi Eliezer's reason, that the Pasuk compares Chala to what we call Truma, to Truma Gedola. The Pasuk says, Bamidbar Tesvav Posuk Chof, Kisrumas Goren Kein Torimu Osa. Now Truma, Trumas Goren, Truma Gedola, does not, you're not required to give Truma Gedola from Tvua Shalohi Vyoshlish, from Tvua which has not grown even to 1/3 of its ultimate growth. So therefore, Chala is compared to Truma, and Chala from Tvua, which is Lohi Vyoshlish, even though it can be made into flour and the flour will be boli dei chimutz, it's still, according to Rabbi Eliezer, exempt from challah. We do not follow Rabbi Eliezer on halacha, but we follow the Tanakama that it is obligated in challah, although it is exempt from ma'asros. And so we have finished lesson number 2.